Aloha, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. I was calling it National Aloha Radio. I don't know. Maybe Mark Collett missed some of this, but I've been having kind of a big Hawaiian beach party for the past several days. And in fact, I've rebranded myself as Patrick Aloha. It's a big beach party, but we're here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Sometimes maybe it will become the Aloha Broadcasting Network. It is republicbroadcasting.org. That's where you go to support free speech. Free speech, one of the last bastions of free speech, one of them, and it might wind up being the last one. You gotta support it. Also, download the Co-Certified app. You want to make sure that all of the great tropical fruits that you have at your beach party, that they're all going to be non-kosher certified, because you are what you eat, and I don't want to be kosher certified. Mark, do you want to be kosher certified?
I certainly don't. The idea of being kosher certified or eating anything kosher certified makes me very uncomfortable indeed.
It makes me very uncomfortable too. Well, so today, it's a show about ideas. This is an ideas show, right? So I want to use Turning Point USA just kind of as a starting point for that, because they say our country, it's an idea. It's not a people, it's an idea. So this show is not it's not me and you. It's an idea. Well, here's the idea we're going to start off with today. I say that when you're looking at these people, like Turning Point USA, sometimes they're not taking, this is Charlie Kirk, and it's in the news a lot. Everybody knows what we're talking about. And he's been going around, and his allies have been going around to various colleges, and Dan Crenshaw is one of them. And they were getting a lot of questions. They were it's a book promotion, and then they take questions. But you've had some people who are going there specifically to ask questions that they're not going to be able to answer very well, like about the USS Liberty. Sometimes they're asked about immigration. And Charlie Kirk can come out and say, oh, well, my position on immigration is very clear. I'm against the diversity lottery. I'm against, family reunification or whatever. He'll have, like, this whole laundry list of stuff, which all of which would be a big improvement over our current immigration law. So what's the problem with him, then? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that's... You know, he will answer that when he's pressed on immigration and say, oh, I'm against a diversity lottery. Okay, fine. But what does he actually work for? Does he work for ending the diversity lottery? Does he put any energy into that or building a wall or shutting down the border? Does he put any energy into it? No. What he does do is he'll invite on stage some, Mexican-American and say, look at her. She came to this country because she... wanted freedom, and she wanted to share the ideals and the ideas that define us as a nation. And she's done that, and she's defined us as because we are not a nation of people. We're a nation of ideas, and she embodies those ideas. Isn't it wonderful? So what he's actually putting his energy into is pushing the idea that we're not defined by our people, that we are defined by an idea, that America is an idea. And by extension, I'm sure that England or United Kingdom is an idea, Sweden is an idea. And so this is what I wanted to get at today, start off, that it's not just, there's not just a big laundry list of equally weighted issues, and you go through and you check the ones you support or you check the ones you don't support. What are people actually working for? And that's the problem with Charlie Kirk. And these other people is, okay, they can have a pretty decent-looking laundry list, but when you actually get down to their emphasis, to their priorities, they've got it all wrong. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, it's great to be here. You've already the second welcome you've given me. But, yes, I think these people are very strange, and I think most of what they say isn't actually formulated in terms of actual ideas or ideas that are coherent. So they say things like, well, a nation is just an idea. Anyone can come here as long as they come here legally, as long as they hold our values. And obviously their values are never anything set in stone. They're nothing that is rock solid. In fact, their values constantly shift. They constantly move. They constantly bend, you know, with whichever way the political wind is blowing. So why do they say these things? Well, they often say these things because they're not trying to form an actual coherent set of policies. They're not trying to form anything that is scientifically coherent or that adds up or that is actually logical. They're trying to do something that's very, very stupid. They're trying to win this debate with the left whilst playing by the left and the media's rules. And it's almost childish in what they do and the way they do it, because it's like sort of fifth grade sort of debating class techniques, where, or debating club techniques, where they say things not to actually be coherent, but just to get gotchas on the left. So the left will say, anyone that opposes immigration is a racist, because if you're saying that you just oppose non-white immigration, that means you're discriminating on race, which means that you're a racist. And we'll call you a racist, and we'll call you a Nazi, or, you know, we'll say you're Islamophobic. So these people are like, right, well, the battle lines are, I can't oppose all-coloured immigration, or coloured immigration, or just immigration in general, because then I'll be called a racist. So I have to come up with something which is a gotcha. Ha-ha! I oppose illegal immigration, and I actually support legal immigration, so I can't be a racist. So then somebody will say, oh, but what about demographic change? You know, aren't you worried that the people who have built this country, you know, white people, those of European descent, are going to become a minority one day? Don't you think that will change the character of the nation? Now, obviously, if they say yes to that, that means they're going to be a racist. And the media go, racist, racist, you know, you've just said that it's white people that built America and that you oppose non-white immigration, even if it's done legally. So then they have to think of a gotcha, don't they? They have to come up with another gotcha. Their first gotcha was, ah, I actually do like immigration, but it just has to be done legally. And their second gotcha is, no, no, no. It's not white people that built America. It was an idea. America isn't a group of people. It's an idea that anyone can buy into. So we totally support legal migration of non-whites, even if the numbers of non-whites coming in legally completely, this is so ridiculous, but this is how they think. Even if the number of people, the number of non-white people coming in legally totally swamps the number of white people in the country, that doesn't matter. As long as all the non-whites doing it legally hold our values. And they think that by doing this, this series of gotchas, this series of kind of fifth form or fifth grade debating society tactics will somehow mean that the mainstream media don't call them racist. So they sit there with these stupid, smug looks on their faces, thinking that they've outdone the left. But of course they haven't outdone the left, because they're basically playing by their enemy's rules. And if the enemies define the rules, then you can never win, can you? It's like playing a game of football. You guys call it soccer. And, you know, if England made the rules for every match and made up the rules on the fly, no team would ever beat England, because England would say, oh, well, the rules are now that England, any team whose country begins with a letter E gets an extra two players. Ha ha! You know, any team that's a goal down at half time, if they're playing in a white shirt with a red cross on it, gets an extra goal, it gets to be levelled up. And if you make the rules up as you go along like that, you're always going to win. So these people are first naive and stupid, because for all the little gotchas they think they've got, they are playing by their enemy's rules. So ultimately they can't win. And secondly, they're playing by their enemy's rules, but they're tying themselves in knots. So people like us are exposing them on a daily basis. Because the fact of the matter is, if you say that you don't mind how many people come to the into your country, as long as it's done legally, ultimately, the end sort of goal of this, or the, you know, the end position of this, is that all the white people become a minority. And it's no different from the leftist position, that anyone can come in regardless of whether it's done legally or illegally. Because it doesn't matter if a group of Mexicans pour across the border, or a group of Mexicans pour across the border with little pieces of paper in their hand with rubber stamps on them saying Charlie Kirk approved. The end result is still exactly the same. The Hispanic or Latino population grows and grows, and the white population moves ever closer to becoming a minority. And it's exactly the same. It makes no difference. But Charlie Kirk adopts this position of it's got to be legal because he thinks he's got a gotcha. But then he would counter what I've just said and said, well, what if all those Mexicans believe in the same thing as the white Americans? What if they all have the same beliefs? Well, that's another point, and it's far more contentious, because at the end of the day, it's very difficult to prove what somebody believes. It's very difficult to say, you know, if all of those Mexicans have the same beliefs as the white Americans. But I would say with quite a lot of certainty, actually, that they don't. And why do I say that? Well, every time you see huge number of migrants move into any particular state, it doesn't matter which state it is, you know, pick Virginia, pick Texas. Virginia is a great example, because I saw somebody tweeting about this today where they were actually showing, I think it was actually Vincent James of the Red Elephants, he was putting out, it must have been on Instagram because he's been banned on Twitter. But on his Instagram, he was showing how Virginia is now turning blue, and it's turning blue due to immigration. And the Republicans, they're white, but the Democrats are largely, obviously there are liberal whites who vote Democrat, but in Virginia you can directly see a correlation between the migrant population, or the increasing number of migrants as time goes by, and the way the state is turning blue. So I would argue, with quite a lot of certainty and quite a lot of facts backing this up, that everything that Charlie Kirk says is nonsense. Firstly, you know, legal immigration and illegal immigration, you know, in the way he's talking about it and with the numbers they're talking about. And remember, you know, these people have said that they want record numbers of immigrants. They just have to come here legally. Results in exactly the same thing, a white minority, which we do not want. And then he counters that by saying, you know, as long as they come in with the right values, it doesn't matter. Well, he's a Republican, and the people coming in are not Republicans. They don't hold the same values that he or his friends or Turning Point USA do. In fact, they hold the values that people who oppose Turning Point USA, liberals and leftists, hold. So this proves that everything he says is said in this sort of fifth grade debating club manner, just as a series of gotchas. There's not actually any form of coherent thought process behind any of it. Mm-hmm. And when it's held up to scrutiny, when people go to his events and pull him up on this and actually question him on this, he has no answers for the things that I'm saying now, for the things that you say, for the things that people on our side of the fence, or people who take our position, say, because nothing that he says was actually designed to be coherent. It wasn't designed to actually work. It was designed to allow him to say, I've played by your rules, and I'm not racist, and also, gotcha, liberals, you can't answer what I've just said. Well, that isn't the way you build coherent policy. That isn't the way that you build an ideology that actually can stand either A, the test of time, or B, serious scrutiny from all sides of the political spectrum.
So you know, he says, oh, these people come in and they have our values. He doesn't want European migration, by the way, because they're socialists. But, you know, the people coming from south of the border, they believe in free markets and family values. So they're okay. We can address the whole European immigration thing in a little bit. But I think of when I was a kid, there was a guy in my neighborhood who was from, he was from the Philippines, and he went to our school, and, you know, everybody liked him. He was good at sports, and he had lived overseas in a variety of countries and had a lot of interesting stories, and everybody liked him. So he was completely accepted by everybody. He was well-liked. The blacks liked him. The whites liked him. Everybody liked him. And I've seen his Facebook page as an adult. And, you know, it's all like pro-immigrant and pro-Filipino. And so he came here, and he was a nice guy, but he's an ethnic advocate, an ethnic activist. And so these people who come from south of the border, okay, they share our values, really, really. They come here, and they organize into La Raza. They organize, you know, it's the race. It's one of their organizations. They organize and they promote their ethnic interests. They'll promote bilingual education, trying to make sure that English is not declared an official language. Preferences in university admissions and hirings. They get affirmative action. Why they get affirmative action is a mystery. Nobody can explain why they should get affirmative action, other than, you know, well, they don't do well, so we have to give them extra stuff because they don't do well. So, you know, the whole notion, even by Charlie Kirk or his ilk's logic, no, they're not coming with our values. They're coming and they're just promoting their own group interest. But, you know, there is a point, to be made about, being called a racist. I don't care. It's not so much worried about me being called a racist. I think, like, for me, it's kind of too late, and I have no animosity towards anybody. But we're trying to bring people on board. Andrew Anglin made a point, and I like the point. And it was actually a point I'd made before, but maybe brilliant minds think alike. He said, you know, we shouldn't be even talking about shutting down non-white immigration. We should just be talking about shutting down immigration because it's easier and because it sounds less racist. But also there's a practical aspect there is, like, where the heck are we going to get white people from anyway? Europe? So are you expecting the Norwegians to abandon Norway and come here? They got to hold down their ship. And the only place maybe that you could expect people to abandon would be South Africa. But there's a few million people there, and there are a few billion people in China or Latin America or Africa who would like to come to the United States. And so, as a practical matter, maybe just talking about shutting down immigration is easier. What are your thoughts on those strategies and observations?
Well, the first thing, and it's very important to tackle this, because you said, you know, you could see, you know, and I can see why people, and I'm sure you can, why they don't want to be called racist. You know, he thinks that Charlie Kirk and his ilk, all of them, think that, you know, by adopting this and by not being called racist, they are getting themselves out of jail. This is their sort of get out of jail free card, that they're not racist. By saying that they're pro-migration and they welcome coloured migration, it's all about ideas and it's not about skin colour, it's not about ethnicity. He's basically trying to prevent himself being called racist. But there's a huge, huge problem with that, because what he's saying is that he's a multiracialist, not a multiculturalist. And I'll explain that, because the break's coming up, but let me explain that after the break.
Okay, and we will be right back.
Mass mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
I'll depart until me.
We are back. So, Mark, you were making some important points.
Well, I was saying that really what Charlie Kirk is saying is that he's a multiracialist, not a multiculturalist. And what do I mean by that? Well, multiracialists are people who say, I don't mind who comes to the West. It doesn't bother me what color they are, as long as they are similar to us culturally. So I'll let in as many Africans as, you know, as want to come in, as long as those Africans hold the same culture, have the same way of life as us. And multiculturalists are slightly different. They say we want everyone in, and the more cultures we have, the better. The more different types of people who have different views, different ways of life, you know, eat different foods, because they always love to bring the food issue out of the bag. You know, the more people that we bring in who have all these different ideas, it makes the country richer. We're all, you know, all this diversity, all these different ways of life, different ideas, different thoughts. You know, it's absolutely wonderful, and it enriches us. But Charlie Kirk's kind of going down this route that, well, you know, I'm not too hot on the multiculturalism thing, but I don't believe that we should stop people coming in because of the color of their skin. You know, people can come in from wherever they want, as long as they are committed to our idea of America, which is obviously it's a cultural thing. If it's not a racial thing, it must be a cultural thing. To have an idea is a culture, I suppose, or a culture of sorts. So he's basically saying he's a multiracialist, not a multiculturalist. But the problem is, the people that he's going up against, the people he's opposing, the people he's sort of trying to, ideologically oppose, to do battle with, they are ardent multiculturalists and multiracialists. You know, the media and the press, they believe wholeheartedly in multiculturalism. And they will call Charlie Kirk and all the people who work alongside him, they will call him and his collaborators racists for opposing multiculturalism in any sense. So the fact that Charlie Kirk says that we need immigration to be legal, well, then he wants borders. Well, anyone that wants borders to them is a racist anyway. Because he says he is not really a fan of unfettered multiculturalism, people have to have the same ideas, they will call him a fascist, because they will say, you know, to say that everyone needs to have the same ideas and needs to subscribe to the same way of thinking, you're a fascist. And ultimately, he has failed their tests. Because their tests are that you have to have an anything-goes policy. Anyone can come in. People don't have to subscribe to the same ideas. People don't have to fill out the paperwork. You know, there shouldn't be any borders. There should be complete freedom of movement. And if you don't subscribe to everything that the left or that liberals believe in, then you are de facto, for opposing them, going to be branded a racist. And, you know, racist is used as an insult, as a sort of big brand, which could be equated to like being branded a witch in medieval times. If you were branded a witch in medieval times, that was it. You were pretty much done for. You were pretty much a non-person and would usually end up, you know, on a bonfire somewhere. And that is exactly what they want to do to anyone. When I say they, I mean liberals, leftists, those in the media, want to do to anyone that opposes immigration in any form. And for all Charlie Kirk's gotchas, for all of Turning Point USA's special little tricks that they think will outfox the left, that will beat liberals in debate, will own SJWs on college campuses, whilst allowing them to fly under the media's radar and, you know, not be called racist, that's not how it works. And for these people to believe that, or to claim to believe that, if they actually believe it, they're extremely naive. Extremely naive. And they are completely out of their depth and shouldn't be involved in politics. Now, if they don't really believe that and are pushing that and are just saying that, then they're bad people, they're bad actors, they are doing something which is disingenuous, and, you know, they are morally not good people. So take your pick, really. You know, what do you think? Do you think A, you know, they're very naive, good-hearted, naive people, or do you think they're bad actors? Well, I think people at the level that Charlie Kirk's at are bad actors. They're not naive. They know about these things. You know, he knows what happened to the USS Liberty. He knows how much money goes to Israel. He knows that Israel used that money to pay for a border wall. Yet he knows the American people aren't getting a border wall. And he isn't going to stand up there and say to all of the Jews in the media, well, you guys don't have a problem with Israel's border wall, but you have a problem with ours. Why? Is it because you have a double standard? And he's not going to say that because he doesn't want to upset Jews. He doesn't want to rock the apple cart. He knows it, but he doesn't want to say it. And that's a much greater gotcha, ironically, for a man who loves gotchas. That's a much greater gotcha than anything he pulls on the left.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're about to go off to break. But we've been talking about, on this show, other shows, we often talk about conservatives and how they, like Charlie Kirk, who concedes so much to the left. On the other side, I want to talk about liberals conceding to the right. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You are my paradise completed.
So we are back, and you know, you've got somebody like Charlie Kirk, who's kind of like the poster child for giving up ground. For maybe he thinks by a tactical retreat he can have a more defensible line. So he retreats on immigration, he retreats on homosexuality, retreats on a whole bunch of things, and boom! Hey, Donald Trump just got homosexuality legalized in Botswana. Big news! Great! And it gets kind of absurd, and a lot of people recognize this, and there's a lot of discussion about how conservatives have just conceded ground, and it's all true. Now, I come from an anti-war background, and you know, going back decades, opposing the Iraq War and Afghan War of 15, 20 years ago, but also the Vietnam War 50 years ago. And if you were to talk to people from, you know, in the 70s or the 80s, the people who at the time were considered on the left, they're anti-war, they're very anti-CIA, they distrusted and really wanted to abolish the CIA. They were anti-corporate. They didn't like all the corporate control. These were really important positions. These were the key positions of the mainstream left in the 70s and the 80s. And you look at it today, and the left is the champion of war. I mean, I never thought I would see the day that you would have somebody, you know, like Jeff Sessions, a Republican senator from Alabama, who would be saying we shouldn't be in these wars, and then you'd have all the Democrats being in favor of the wars. It's amazing. The Democrats now being the champion of the CIA and trying to impeach Donald Trump because trying to impeach a president who was elected on an anti-war platform because somebody from the CIA, whose name they want to protect, says that he was unwilling to provide, or he delayed providing military aid to a country that was at war with Russia. I mean, none of this makes any sense. And then you look at the relationship between the modern left and, you know, major media companies and other companies like, you know, Amazon or Facebook or Google, and it's completely unrecognizable. So an old lefty from the 60s, 70s, 80s looks at the Democrats today and would say, all you do is concede, you know, and you could look at Clinton, you know, Clinton, because it used to be the Democrats had a very difficult time raising money, and Clinton turned it all around, President Clinton, so that they became very, very corporate friendly. And so you've got a whole bunch, just as, you know, the natural constituents or the former constituents of the Republican Party have been completely abandoned by the likes of Charlie Kirk or Paul Ryan or Mitt Romney. The traditional anti-war, anti-CIA, suspicious of corporate power left has been completely abandoned by the modern Democratic Party. And my last point is I think there are a lot of orphans on both sides who might not see eye to eye on everything, but are much, much more in tune with each other's positions, even if they don't recognize it, than they are with, you know, their erstwhile mainstream Republicans or mainstream Democrats. And I bet it's the same in the UK, is it?
Well, I'm not so... I see where you're coming from, to some degree, saying there's, you know, people who've been let down on both sides. But I've got to say, mainly the left have got what they want. The sort of drift...
See, my point, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my point, which I did not make, is that you have a Jewish agenda that some of which was dished out. Initially, most of it was dished out to the Democrat side, to the left, but increasingly in recent decades, a lot of it's been dished out to the right as well, the neocon right. And so it's not so much the left, the old left or the old right getting their way, it's Jewish power getting its way. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I see that. I definitely see that, and I'm not arguing that there are some, what can I call them, principled sort of anti-war leftists, who will probably be absolutely appalled by the actions of modern sort of left-wing parties such as the Democrats or the Labour Party in the UK, who have taken Britain and America into very damaging foreign wars, when those people at one time would have been marching through the streets with members of those parties holding up flags and banners saying, you know, no more war. Yet here are those parties, you know, supporting what could be described as neoconservative, you know, foreign policy. So I do see that, but I've got to say that the left, generally speaking, liberalism and the left have driven the direction of political policy in the West, and most people on the left have got what they want, and the conservative position today is simply the left's position 10 years ago. So what you'll see for conservatives today is the left's position 10 years ago. And you can see this very clearly with Trump. Trump is calling for a border wall. He's not calling for mass, you know, deportations. He's not calling for illegal immigrants to be rounded up. He isn't calling for anything that would actually reverse the demographic trends in the US. What he's calling for is something that will just slow very slightly the date, you know, that this transition, the date when whites become a minority in America, will be pushed back by a few days, a few weeks, a few months, if we're lucky, a few years. But it's not going to change that eventuality. It's not going to stop it happening. Now, I don't know which president it was. It might have even been Obama, in fact, who called for a border fence. Was it Bill Clinton? Was it Obama? I can't remember, but they campaigned, you know, and said that there should be a you know, some border control. Mm-hmm. There should be fences across the southern borders in areas where there are large crossings. Mm-hmm. And that was a policy that Democrats themselves tabled at one point. But now Trump calls for it, which was you know, calls for what was a Democrat policy, sort of, I don't know, you know, a decade ago. And now he is the devil incarnate. He is a racist. He's a Nazi. He's a fascist. He needs to be impeached because of his inhumane policies. Well, all he's doing is standing where the Democrats were a decade ago. You know, he's probably standing where the Democrats were a decade ago on LGBT rights. Mm-hmm. And 10 years from now, you know, people like Charlie Kirk might well be saying, well, look, you know, we should be letting illegals in, but we shouldn't be rolling out the red carpet for them quite as much. And he'll still be being called a racist by the left, but he'll just be where the left are today. And this is how politics has worked. We've allowed these people to drive policy. And because of this, they've got what they wanted. And what people don't seem to see, and especially what conservatives or so-called conservatives or these sort of skeptics, these people like Sargon or people like Charlie Kirk, don't seem to understand, is that politics is a constant fluid journey. Politics is always moving in one direction. It's never static. It never holds a position. You never get a society which you can look back on and say, well, that society held those political views and stayed in one position for, you know, a large number of years, or it was never constant for a period that is sort of verifiable. You can't say society A stayed in that position for 20, 30, 40, 50 years then suddenly shifted. It was always a series of incremental small shifts, and that society was constantly moving in one direction. And the problem is, what you have is, if you vote for conservatives, the car moves towards the edge of the cliff. It moves at 40 miles an hour. So the car is moving at 40 miles an hour towards the edge of the cliff, and eventually it's going to go over the edge of the cliff, and everyone in it's going to be on the rocks below, screaming and burning and in quite a bit of pain. Now, if the Democrats are in charge, you know, if the left are in charge, then the car's moving at 70 miles an hour. So you're getting to the edge of that cliff a lot quicker. Then if the real liberals, if the real hardcore left, if people like Bernie Sanders are driving the car, then the car's moving at 100 miles an hour and you're approaching the precipice far, far quicker, and you're going to be over the edge of the cliff in no time at all. And the fact is, if you're voting conservative, you're not actually changing things. You're not actually turning the car around. You're not putting the car into reverse. In fact, you're not really even putting the brakes on. You're just dropping a gear or so and going slightly slower for a small amount of time until the pendulum swings the other way again and the Democrats get into power and you accelerate again. And that's the fact of the matter. And that's why we need people like myself, people like you, people who are genuine nationalists, people who want to turn the car around. You see, I don't just want to put the brakes on so we get to the cliff slightly slower. I don't want to say, well, let's just go 10 miles an hour, you know, so it takes 100 years for us to become a minority. I want to turn the car around. I want to make sure illegals are deported. I want to make sure that there's proper border control. I want to make sure that people who have entered the country who don't belong there, that are abusing the system, that are living off welfare, that are taking the system for a ride, I want to give them generous incentives to leave so that we turn this around, so things move in the opposite direction. So the demographic change isn't a demographic change where the country slowly gets browner and browner until there is a white minority. I want to turn things around so the country starts getting whiter and whiter again. So America and, you know, other Western nations are saved, so that we retain our cultural and ethnic integrity, so that we don't face this nightmare. But that's what it needs. Mm-hmm. Society doesn't need a Charlie Kirk who's just going to drop things down a gear or two, but we're still going to end up in the same place. Society needs people who want to make these big changes, who want to ensure that we keep our ethnic and cultural integrity, and that our children and our grandchildren grow up in a place which is full of people who are like them. And that's the only way that you ensure these sort of rather woolly ideas that Charlie Kirk talks of could ever, ever be enshrined in any meaningful way. Because once all of these people are flooded in from the third world or the developing world, whatever Charlie Kirk says, the truth of the matter is they bring with them their own cultures. They bring with them their own ideas. And as we've seen time and time again, their ideas, they're not our ideas.
So I can see, certainly on these social issues, these demographic issues, to a very large extent, the position of the Republican Party today, or the Tories maybe in Britain, but I won't go there. The Republican Party today is where the Democrats were 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And to a large extent, that is accurate. I'm still going to make the point that if you look at the position of the liberals or you know, establishment liberals, the Democratic Party today, in terms of war, that it is there, and in terms of surveillance state, it's where the Republicans were 15 years ago. And so, but in both cases, what you have is the, you know, the establishment right or the establishment left, they're just moving to the preferred Jewish position, frankly, because the Jews have delegated out, you know, they traditionally had delegated out their foreign policy, at least the past few decades, to the Republicans, and their domestic policy to the Democrats. So that's what I'd say. But, you know, regarding a lot of the social issues, what is the Republican position today and the Democratic position 10 years ago was nobody's position 50 years ago. You know, nobody was promoting homosexuality like that. Nobody even conceived of this trannyism stuff. So a lot of it is just completely out of nowhere. And then immigration is so important, and it deserves a little bit of attention. If you were to go back 50, 60 years ago, the 1965 Immigration Act, which was passed by Congress, and you can look at it and say, well, okay, 75% of Democrats voted for it, 85% of Republicans voted for it. The only bloc that was against it were the conservative Southern Democrats. And so maybe it's not a wonder that David Duke or Don Black, who grew up in that era, in that region, reflect that. That was the only area, because they were already racially sensitized by the Civil Rights Movement. And the Civil Rights Movement was also, there was a lot of Republican support for it. The opposition was the conservative Southern Democrats. It wasn't, the opposition to the Civil Rights didn't come from the Republican Party. And then just last thing, 1980s, the Amnesty Act, the first big Amnesty Act, signed by Ronald Reagan. It was sponsored in the Senate by Alan Simpson, who was a Republican from Wyoming. So in terms of this massive replacement level immigration, you had both proponents and opponents in both parties. So especially once the Republicans absorbed, like in the 1970s, there was a shift of those Southern Democrats to the Republican Party, and especially after they absorbed those Southerners, you know, the Republicans had an anti-immigration faction that was, you know, these social conservatives, but they also have a pro-immigration business wing, and the same with the Democrats. They had a, you know, like a groovy on race faction that welcomed everybody, and everybody's groovy. But you also had the labor unions that were against depressing wages with immigrant with massive immigration. So, you know, it's complicated. And, you know, I don't object to people saying that there's a constant leftward, but the direction that we're calling left nowadays, I don't even think it really even existed 50 years ago. What was considered left 50 years ago is very different from today. But one thing that I think we can both agree on is whatever direction that is, it's a direction off of a cliff.
Indeed it is. And you make a very important point as well, that domestic policy or sort of, you know, what the media wanted in terms of domestic policy was always driven by the left. And what the media wanted in terms of foreign policy is driven by sort of your neocons or your, mm-hmm. you know, controlled right. And now they both just pretty much push the same thing. And isn't it, it's quite interesting, actually, because when you talk about Donald Trump, when you talk about the sort of things that Donald Trump said, I think Donald Trump is the template, really, for why Charlie Kirk will fail. Now, I'm not wholly opposed to Donald Trump. As you know, I've made videos sort of praising all of the things he's done. I think he's had some really, really positive effects. I think he's got people talking about immigration. I think he's exposed a lot of positive, a lot of negative things is what he's exposed, but it's been a positive that he has exposed them. So, for example, he's exposed just how biased the media are. He's exposed the deep state. But the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump is one of the last people on the planet you could actually call a racist. Donald Trump, his daughter is married to a Jew. He has made numerous speeches, including his State of the Nation address, where he said he wanted, you know, record numbers of immigrants. He has repeatedly held non-whites up on a pedestal for, you know, how great they are, LGBT community for how great they are. Yet they still tear him apart and call him a racist.
Okay, well, we'll be right back on the other side.
Pay attention, we're going to sing together, okay?
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. So this is our Monday show. Monday is the day Mark Collett comes over to our show, and Wednesday is the day I go over to his show, the Patriotic Weekly Review. So what's in store for us this Wednesday?
Well, this Wednesday is going to be a big show because we've got Lana and Henrik from Red Ice on the show. So that's going to be very important because obviously they were deplatformed recently. And there's a lot to talk about because breaking news today is that YouTube are updating the terms of their their contracts with people, their terms of service are being updated on the 10th of December, saying that they have the right to terminate anyone's channel which is commercially unviable for them.
Oh, my goodness, is that it?
So anyone that has had their channel demonetized that can't run adverts will be likely to be terminated. So people like myself, who are absolutely commercially viable, because at one time numerous advertisers were willing to put their adverts on my channel, numerous people were willing to donate via Super Chat, and numerous people would be willing to join my channel and pay for it to remain up, but because they've demonetized me and said we're not allowing people to do that, well, that puts us in a very interesting position, doesn't it? That channels that actually are commercially viable, but YouTube have said aren't allowed to monetize themselves, so aren't commercially viable, but only because YouTube won't let them raise money, are now going to be on the chopping block, which puts us in a position where 30 days from now, it's going to be highly likely that people like myself, people like Dr. David Duke, and numerous other content creators that have had their channels demonetized will no longer be on YouTube.
You know, so a public utility has to serve areas even where it's hard to get to. So there was a great deal of money spent in the Great Depression to electrify rural areas. You have the post office, and the post office has to deliver mail everywhere, even where it's not commercially viable, but they have to. An internet service, there's been in order to extend internet service all over the place, there's been a great deal of public money invested. And yet, YouTube and Google, which owns YouTube, they can take advantage of all of this infrastructure, and yet they get to discriminate. How is that even possible?
Well, that's possible because of this big private company, and this is the other big problem with people like Charlie Kirk. Interestingly, it takes it back to people like him. He doesn't think there's a conspiracy. He doesn't think that YouTube or the big tech companies are censoring conservatives. And even if they did, because it's a private company, they can do what they want. So he doesn't have a problem with that. And that just shows how useless these people are. Because I should imagine people like myself will disappear. And it even might swing as far as getting rid of people like Mark Dice. I wouldn't be surprised if people like him disappear.
It was very commercially viable, by the way.
Extremely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Your show on... How can people watch your show?
People can watch my show for the time being on YouTube, but if that goes, please go and check out my BitChute account.
Okay. And so that will be exactly 48 or 47 hours from now, because it starts at 2 p.m., Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central Time, whatever time it might be in England or Hawaii. And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Beat.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.